MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 244, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. My 6-year-old is home today and has become curious about what I do for a living, so he might pop his head in here. He was like, co-host, like you unmute people on Zoom? I was like, yeah. Basically like that. But it is Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack Baby Baja Blast the Train. Drink Spark from 9 to 5 and then Baja Blast to the Dome again to find Code Red waiting for him. That is courtesy of Lex Loogie. A little Mountain Dew flavor for you. Also soft launching my nickname Jack Baby. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host, an award-winning podcast host, writer, producer, actor, voice artist, one of my favorite singers. It's Jaquise Neal.
Looking back, you can squash your fears. I guess I'm guessing again. I told myself time and time again, it's Zeitgeist for the win. And so I think I better let you know. Bow, 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 bow. Looks like another Jaquise show. I'm dying, dying. I said, I think you better let you know. Let you know, let you know, let you know.
Yeah, get it.
It looks like another Jaquise Neal show. Oh, what up, niggas? How we doing?
Shit. So good.
We are back. We are back. Yes, it is. Oh, it is. The day after July 4th, which is a day that we don't care about in these parts, baby.
Yeah. Although half of the world does seem to be like taking off both days, which is interesting.
Taking off today too?
Yeah. I've gotten like some bounce back emails, mostly from the publishing world, which
I love it.
I've always envied their work schedule.
But listen, if people are going to take 2 days off of July 4th, I think we should start taking like 3 days off of Juneteenth. Only black people, though.
Yes.
Everybody else should work.
I think we should take all the teams off. I think we should take the 13th to the 19th.
I'm down with that, man. I'm down. Friday the 13th, take it off.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious writer, actor, filmmaker, comedian, Goth Prince, who is one of the hosts.
Thank you for getting my credits right.
The Dark weave. It's the brilliant and talented Brody Reed.
Ooh. Hello, hello, N-words. How are you?
Yes. Feel what's comfortable. Up, feel comfortable.
Nothing yeah. much. I also celebrated July 4th by staying inside and not looking at a single firework. I am not going to bask in the glow of any bombs bursting in air this fucking year. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I just only clap for the regular gunshots in my neighborhood. That's,
yeah.
Get yeah, out yeah. on the woo.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I took my niece is in town and I took her. To not, I'm radicalizing her already. I was like, okay. We ain't seeing fireworks. We just go and listen to gunshots, baby.
My God, the fireworks, though, like just intense all night. There were some.
It's wild.
That, yeah. There were some that seemed like they were targeting my house, maybe. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's a coordinated effort. But
it's lawless, man. I woke up with the weather and, you know, people showing the air quality and it's like bad.
Yeah. It's the bad. Air quality is bad in Los Angeles. We kind of went overboard last night.
Yeah, I canceled my skydiving lesson today because I wasn't going to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. My cousin lives in New York. She lives in the Bronx in New York. And she lives like in a high rise, like she gets beautiful views of the city, like one of the top floors. Mm-hmm. And she was taking videos on her Instagram of fireworks just popping up in the middle of city ass block. Like people was popping up fireworks in the middle of city blocks.
Absolutely.
At least in LA, we doing it in neighborhoods and shit. These motherfuckers was downtown Bronx popping up fireworks. I was like, no chill in New York. So it's all over the place, man. It's all over the place.
Yeah. I wish we could just give up the independence part. Like no one, I don't think anyone is celebrating America, not that I know, but if you want to celebrate just blowing shit up once a year, just be honest about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hot dogs and fireworks day. That's all it has to be.
Yeah. The fireworks, I did take my kids to a firework display and they were bored.
Oh, yeah.
So quickly. Like they were like, so is this the finale? They at first like you know, they just kept asking if it was the finale and then you know. But they were not frightened, which I, you know, used to be when I was a kid. So
that's also a concern. They're desensitized.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like, you got to keep your head on a swivel out there. We're in America.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's Disney fireworks or some shit, like most fireworks are boring for kids because unless they're to music or something.
But, yeah, exactly. You know, if you're just in a neighborhood, it's just like, okay, I guess we're looking at this street in this direction. For these wild-ass neighbors, let's see how much shit they bought.
Yeah.
The drive back from the fireworks was the best part because then, you're just, like, hitting all, like, driving down, like, a firework alley of just, like, explosions going off everywhere.
Yeah.
Way too low, you know, backyard displays that are like, oh, I thought that could have cracked my window if I was, like, in the left lane. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Brody. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. It seems like a lot of America is coming to the conclusion that like there's like an existential crisis politically where people are like, why do you, as the two major parties in America, exist if you don't actually help people? And the answer that, like, I've just been, you know, morbidly curious and like watching the mainstream media to see how they deal. And they are going hard in the moderate Democrat like direction. Like the New York Times Magazine had a cover story about how moderate Democrats are really the iconoclastic outsiders of politics. And Mitt Romney had like an op-ed where he was like, we got our head in the sand. And we need to come together in the center. And everybody was covering the hell out of that, you know, as, you know, the weekend brought video of Akron police shooting Jaylen Walker to death, a mass shooting at a 4th of July parade where people are just like, it seemed like they were just choosing people fucking at random. Like, I don't know. Like, it feels like America has entered the terrorism phase of, like, the American system is
just,
you know, fucking terrorizing people. And then their answer is moderates. What if we went back to Clinton, Clintonian politics? That's a, like, I have some wild quotes from that New York Times Magazine article. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the latest kind of viral obsession, Sour Patch Kid slushy from Sonic. Sour Patch Kid slush float.
Jakeesa's face when you said that.
Oh yeah,
that just sounds terrible, man.
It is.
I'm too old.
Are you not a Sour Patch Kid? Or
no, I love Sour Patch Kids now. But look, man, the older I get, the more I'm like, that's too much sugar, man.
Yeah. No, like, it seems
the more we become our parents, man, that's too much sugar. That's too much sugar for kids, man, or anybody.
It does feel like this is like the pop cultural, like, content that is devoid of, like, any political implications that people can just, you know, everybody can distract themselves with. But this seems like a bad one, just based on the reviews. Anyways, all of that, plenty more. But first, Brody, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I have never seen the movie The Bodyguard, which is my own fault because I grew up in a black woman's house. But someone recently told me that Whitney Houston holds a katana in that movie, and I had to immediately Google it, and I was not disappointed. A little disappointed because I wanted to see her really, like, really going at it.
You wanted to see her fucking swing it?
Yeah, whacking some bamboo or anything. But it's just this scene where Kevin Costner lets her hold a katana, and then he, like, throws, like, a silk sheet over it, and then it, like, slices without her, like, doing anything. Wow. And that was just really badass. So you heard it here, Whitney Houston ninja. Mm-hmm. That's relevant to my interests.
How is that not, like, the most memed, like, gif? Like, that
exactly
that Usher gif, the watch this gif, is everywhere. What about this?
Yeah, we live in a world of so much fan art where people are, like, making all the Naruto characters black or something like that. So I think it's time we got some Whitney Houston holding a katana fan art. And if anyone is listening and you got the artistic capacity, tweet at me. I'll Bama you $50. I don't care.
I miss when the biggest stars,
yeah,
like, also acted and did well. Like, I feel like this new crop of stars we have, now, probably, like, Lady Gaga is the last one. And, like, there's more coming. But who are, like, I'm not saying, like, the stars aren't acting, but, like, Whitney Houston was okay as an actress. I mean,
yeah.
A fun fact, a lot of people don't know that. Well, maybe some people do know this, but she was originally cast as one of the daughters on The Cosby Show or some shit, I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, and, like, then she turned it down and went to music instead, which was, you know, a good idea. But, yeah, man, Whitney Houston.
Or is it talking about Lady Gaga? I was like, what?
No, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston. Sorry. Lady Gaga was gonna be Claire and Cliff Huxtable's daughter.
Oh, okay.
No, she was gonna be on The Cosby Show. She was gonna be their white daughter. she was also an infant. But no, it's just like, I think that's dope. And now, and I mean, like, not just actors who, singers who act, but, like, the top of the echelon. Like, now we have Beyonce, and I'm sorry, Beehive, but Beyonce is a terrible fucking actress.
Listen, it's been, like, it's been over 10 years since Goldmember. I'm sure she's got some lessons down.
Dreamgirls came out the Goldmember, and
we got Haley in Lil Mermaid, so we'll
okay,
see.
There we go. We'll see what's up.
Rihanna was, like, very good in everything she was in. She was just in, like, bad movies, and then just was like, I just choose not to be a great actor. Basically.
Yeah.
She was in Battleships.
Battleship. That was, like, she was, like, a great part of Battleship, but of course nobody fucking saw that.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah. Like, let's get some of these singers, like, lead roles and see what they can, and, like, cheesy rom-coms. Like, remember The Preacher's Wife with Denzel and Whitney?
Yes.
Like, terrible movie, but also very fun. It was just so fun. Loved it.
What is something you think is overrated, Brody?
Okay. Before you guys, okay, hear me out.
I'm going to hear you out.
Armpit hair. And before you react, not just women, it's overrated on everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about a little bit of armpit hair, okay? Right? Yeah. We all got it.
Yeah.
When I'm talking, if someone is wearing like, you know, they got suns out, guns out, they're running a tank, and they got like 6 inches on them.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you making a political statement? Yeah. Probably. Like,
it's nasty,
are you going to braid it? Are you trying to impress like an art student or something like that? It's just like, if I saw someone who like didn't like clip their nails and they had like six inches of like fingernails, nail I'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, what's going on?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot. I want to agree with, I agree with you so hard, and I'm glad you said it, because now I can finally speak my truth. Okay. So thank you so much. Here it is. Armpit hair is fucking nasty on everybody, And like, I'll never ever tell, because I know like you hear two dudes say that and automatically the thought process is, oh, you talking about women who have armpit hair?
Right.
And I'm just like, yo, look, I'm willing to say, instead of like everybody just being comfortable with their body hair, let's get men to say, nah, we're going to go ahead and shave our armpit hair. Like, okay, let's do that. Let's everybody shave your armpit hair. Let that be the default. Yeah. Like, let's all be fucking wrestlers where they have just no armpit hair. And it's great.
But honestly, you know, at the end of the day, people can do whatever they want.
Of course.
I am famously pro white dreads. I think.
Oh damn, Brody.
I think of any race could be a gutter punk.
Man.
Whatever, get it.
Ooh.
But I just don't get what it adds. You know what I mean? It's just like, if someone gives you a soup with like a basil leaf on it, you're not supposed to eat the basil leaf. But if someone gives you like a soup with like a handful of basil leaves on there, it's just like, what exactly are you doing? Anyway, overrated.
I get you. It's overrated for sure. And again, like you said, any hair you want to have is cool with me. You're still a beautiful, sexy beast, and I love it. It's great. You're welcome. It's just, you know, I'm here for the push of, instead of like, yo, let's all be okay with our body hair, our armpit hair, more specifically, not body hair, armpit hair. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, let's just all cut our armpit hair. Let's all be naked under our arms. And let's just have
a moderate amount. let's all just trim.
Let's meet in the center. We'll all have
You're centrist on this. I'm a leftist. Who would I be considered on this? Would this be considered conservative?
Right.
This would be conservative, and this Jack loves it. So he's leftist. He wants all the bushes under the arms.
Yeah. I have a crew tee on, and you can, as you guys can see, like my hair is coming down to
elbows. Yeah.
I do have it braided.
Feels like when you see people who have those handlebar mustaches that go, they're like trying to win like a contest every year, and they like grow them out real big. That's almost what it is to me. But hey, at the same time, listen, I'm not going to come to Portland and tell you how to grow your hair. Okay, so it's all good.
So I assume you've both had armpit hair and not. Like, is there a comparison?
No, I've never had it. I've lasered it off.
I've never shaved, and I am curious about the comfort of it all.
I mean, I've shaved my armpit hair maybe a couple times before. I can't remember why. It's been very long. I don't grow a lot of hair. Anybody who knows me personally knows, like, I'm like very fucking smooth. Like, I don't have arm hair.
Yeah.
I don't have like leg hair and shit. Like, I don't have that much hair in general. So even my armpit hair is very like scarce. The only reason I'm not cutting it is just because it's itchy as shit. And I don't want to go through the learning curve. But if as a society we say, this is what we're doing, I'll jump on that sword, and I'll also join everybody in their bald underarm hair. But until then, I'm gonna let my shit out though.
I just can't. I don't think mine can physically grow more than like an inch. And I see some people where I'm just like, man, you're in the Guinness books, and we're all acting like it's normal. And that, right, that yeah. hey, whatever.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Like people who, if they shaved, would have to shave like twice a day.
If you got to the point where you have to comb it, I'm just like, okay, yeah. what exactly is going on?
If you can pick your armpit hair out, then you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you're putting a do-rag on there. You're getting waves.
What is something you think is underrated?
Something I've been getting into recently, and I've been like resisting of it, but like I'm the kind of person who doesn't like to go to the grocery store. I'm an introvert. Sometimes I get social anxiety. And then when I get to that last day where I'm just like, fuck, I don't have any good groceries. All I got is a packet of rice. I can't just eat a pack of rice all day.
Right.
I like gotta go. I was always kind of resistant of like getting groceries delivered to you. And I know this is like not like a new take, especially like post pandemic or anything like that. But it's nice every once in a while just to get someone to go to the store for you and you tip them. You know what I mean? Right. I'm improving somebody's livelihood and I don't have to fucking go to Ralph's and wear my mask for a second. But at the same time, I don't know if you guys have done any of these like delivery things, but you'll put stuff in your cart and then they'll say, if we can't find it, we'll get you something similar.
Yeah.
And then they'll like bring you shit. And I'm just like, okay, you definitely could have found the thing that you gave me a replacement for. I asked for a 12 pack of Canada Dry, and you're bringing me back sweats.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, minor
complaint. Or not even. Sometimes they'll be like, well, Sprite'll do. They both green cans. I just have fucking food delivery. Nah, food delivery is I just got some groceries delivered this morning.
Okay.
As well. And I still go to the grocery store, but every blue moon I'll get it, especially if there's a promo code or something like that where I can get free delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not even on my promo code game. I need
I'm on my promo code game, baby. I'll be searching for promo codes. I'll try about four or five of them too before I be like, all right, I guess ain't none of them gonna work. But yo, here's the play though. Here's the play.
Uh-huh.
Just go in and tell them, you can go in the app and say, if you can't find this, don't give me a goddamn substitution. Just refund my money. That's what I do because they be giving you the wildest substitutions. Like I eat keto. I do keto mostly. And so sometimes I'll get like keto centric things and then they won't have it. Yeah, I'm a keto centrist. That's what I'm in the center of is keto. I'm
glad we can all agree centrism is the way.
Yeah. It's the way. It's the way. But you'll ask for like, you know, like, oh, give me some almond flour. And then they'll have almond flour and then bring you back a loaf of bread instead. Like, what the fuck is this? I can't do nothing with this.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, yeah.
I like this is a part of me that's broken that I've like kind of come to terms with. I think I like. There's this book, Don DeLillo, White Noise, where like they talk about like the guy is like dealing with his fear of death just generally, like like he is stalked by his fear of death.
Can't relate.
I'm completely fearless around death and like a complete might as well have a military medallion. I'm so brave. But he like one of the things he does is like goes to a grocery store with his family and is just like calmed by the like colors and all the like choices and just like the excess of it all. I think I have that sickness where like because I do the grocery shopping for my family like on purpose because I like to just like go
good
turn my brain off and just bask in the horror of
that's
American.
The closest thing I get we get to like hunting, so
right, exactly.
It's, you know, you're providing for your family.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I understand that is like it makes more sense to me that somebody would be like anything to avoid Ralph's.
Yes,
I am not that way for some reason. Anyways, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the great doubling down on the status quo.
Yes, please.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick
and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy, yeah, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And like we said up top, everybody seems to be coming to the same conclusion that America is currently having an existential crisis, like in as far as its political systems go. The American people seem to be asking, like, why do these parties exist? Like, on the one side, it's like MAGA people being like, why won't they agree with Trump? But I think the majority is people being like, hey, we voted for Democrats. We've voted for Democrats, like in the majority, 8 of the last 9 elections. But it does feel like there is a paralysis that is happening with this party. Like, what else can we do here? And the answer that the New York Times seems to have come up with is, like, just doubling down, like, the blaming extreme leftist politics. It was, like, a truly baffling story.
The New York Times is I think we can all consider the New York Times to be a conservative rag at this point. Like, it seems like every week they got some new shit everyone's getting mad about in their opinion section or elsewhere. It's they're just all about the status quo.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. Truly.
I agree with that 100% that they are. I would even take it. I don't really think there isn't an extreme left because the only extreme left there is people on the quote unquote extreme left just sometimes are equally as fucking annoying as people on different fucking reasons. It's very much because, you know, white people have gotten a hold of wokeism and their only way to do anything is to say my way or the highway type shit, which, you know, I get that. But I would prefer the New York Times to be about as conservative as it gets.
So they were open about it.
Yeah.
Well, not. I'm just saying, like, I want to live in a world where that is the New York Times, what they represent is the extreme right. Because is even worse.
it is truly even worse, right? Yeah.
And I, you know, that's what we're, you know, because I'm in a progressive thing and everything like that, but. I'm not like dumb and think like the right is gonna go away forever. Like that's just not a realistic thought, right?
No.
But if we can eradicate what is seemingly taken over and ruling our country apparently with an iron clan fist with this, which is the extreme right, then I'm all for that. I don't know how we get there, but it's.
I don't want to go off on a tangent or anything. I had this viral thread about a week ago.
That's your favorite famous catchphrase, by the way. I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Thank you so much.
I
want
to go off on a tangent. But I had a viral thread a week ago.
I wanted to make sure that people caught the trademark, the implications of the trademark in there as you said it.
But thank you so much. Go back and listen to the other DZs where I guest on. There's always a point. And you can drink if you hear me say that. But I was watching this... This video by this economist who is also this historian, and he was talking about what happens to these empires who are on the top historically. You know, before we were like the country with the reserve currency, which is the most internationally strong currency in the world, which people trade off, and because of that, they tend to lend us money, and we get to kind of determine the policies for a lot of the rest of the world. Before us, it was the British. Before the British, it was the French. Before the French, it was the Dutch. And we forget about the Dutch, but the Dutch invented ships and they invented capitalism and they invented the stock market. Mm. And we've seen all of these empires who were on the top at one point kind of go through these periods where they were at the top. And those periods lasted for like 100, 150 years. And if you look at it historically, from even before the Dutch, we were like the Spanish and like the Portuguese, like we've kind of reached that point where economically our leaders are just borrowing a lot of money. Rich people, like the divide between the poor and rich has increased. Rich people are playing the stock market. You see them investing in things like gold and stuff because they think that the market's going to tank because they borrowed money and all this stuff. It's just like, it's on a larger scale. It seems like America's dying. I think we're all in this kind of like weird existential crisis. But at the same time, I think we're just going to have to get used to not being the world's biggest superpower. And we're just going to have to focus on like making our lives better. Like the rights that we fight for are important.
Yeah.
It's not just voting that we have to do. It's like we actually do have to demand change from our leaders who are ineffective, and they're ineffective for a reason. It's by design, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the center is just not it anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Like the center isn't it anymore because, like I said, like the center almost has to become what we need to be, just the right. And you know, it is, right? Because or else I don't think, like, because you can't be, you can't, the extreme to the right of the center is mm-hmm. too extreme, right? So exactly. any movement toward that direction, the status quo is why we have led to the extreme right. Status quo, yeah. we not codifying and doing things and being like, oh, it's okay, is what has allowed people who, for instance, have wanted to control and take away women's rights and, mm-hmm. and women's reproductive rights and all the things we see kind of going away, because the inaction of the center is what's allowed them to just kind of keep operating kind of in the shadows, and now they're operating mm-hmm. in the fucking light. Right?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I remember growing up and thinking, like, I can't imagine people being, like, openly bigoted as they were, like, you know, when we see black and white videos of, like, the civil rights movement. I couldn't really picture it. And now it's like commonplace.
It's commonplace.
It's people who are younger than me as well too, which is a really surprising thing.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And honestly, it's all from like 4chan and stuff. Right. It's all the stuff I'm very familiar with.
And I think there's also something happening where there is desperation among people who are coming to this conclusion that mm-hmm. we have a political system that only serves corporations and mm-hmm. the police, essentially, at this point. And that, you know, that, like, so there's anger and discomfort, and the way that people deal with that is like looking for something outside of the status quo and the mainstream mm-hmm. that is currently ignoring them. And the, you know, the 4chans of the world are one of the things that is offering a solution. It is a horrifying, like, mm-hmm. you know, white supremacist, violent ideology, but it's also, it's there and constant. The left seems to be like, struggling as of now to mm-hmm. like fully put something together that is like consistent and coherent, like, you know, we had for a while with Sanders.
Yeah, I think part of it is because the left by design is diverse and egalitarian, and we consist of a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds. And the right, and I feel like we see this over and over in history, it's like they value a specific type of lifestyle, which is this white American way Christian mm-hmm. identity that they mm-hmm. rally around and push and try to gather people in. And that's how, you know, fascism happens. You wrap people around one identity and then you blame all their problems on other people, and then they stockpile a bunch of guns. So it's kind of a scary place to be in. But like at the same time, when we push Democrats and be like, we need to push gun reform right now, we need to codify Roe and Wade right now, like the situation is more desperate than it ever has. I mean, last week we saw the Supreme Court just push through a bunch of shit. We saw them push through, they got rid of some coal regulations for coal mining and stuff like that. It just seems like they're doing every evil thing in the playlist as fast as possible. And it's a really pivotal year. It's time.
Yeah, the New York Times Magazine article, like, so they start out and they're like, you know, some fiscal policies like Medicare for All or Medicaid for All and raising the minimum wage are popular, but then it mm-hmm. just like completely drops it. But it's like, but a lot of the stuff that Democrats believe in are not. And it doesn't talk about like mm-hmm. abortion rights. It doesn't talk, you know, having a solution to climate change in place that we're all working towards, which are, mm-hmm. it just completely accepts the right wing, like, characterization of Democrats, and is just like, that's a political winner. That's a loser for us. And it's just so laser focused. It's one of these stories that like has kind of a protagonist or a couple protagonists, and like it portrays them as these iconoclastic outsiders of politics. And they are like middle of the road Clintonian like people. At one point, the guy brings he's like a New Jersey representative. He brings a video to Nancy Pelosi. It is a 1996 Bill Clinton campaign ad that brags about welfare reform, work requirements, taxes cut, death penalty for drug kingpins. Like, that's what it says it did. Clinton did in the first administration. Ban cop killer bullets, capital gains tax cut for homeowners, balance the budget for a growing economy. And like that, so that that's like Clinton doubling down on means testing, the war on drugs, weaponizing a plot line from Lethal Weapon 3, I think. Like, the cop killers thing is just, was just like a meme. Like, I don't know that that was necessarily even like a real story, but to give, basically giving police more opportunity to claim they're brave and under constant threat. It is an amazing time capsule that by all rights should be brought forth and be like, do you fucking believe this was only 26 years ago? But instead he's like, Nancy, this is how we win. This is how we do it. And it's just, I don't know. The New York Times Magazine just takes them at their word.
Yeah. It seems like we, I know, like, some to some people, it seems like we've reached a tipping point. As a black man in America.
Me too.
I don't think, exactly. I'm here to tell you, we have not.
Right.
We still have much more to tip to go before we reach that tipping point. And they and there are going to be certain people that are going to, the scales are tipping, but we haven't reached the tipping point yet. Like, there are still things they are coming for before we, quote, reach our tipping point, where, like, some people on the left, and especially in those center left moderate people, are eventually going to say, we can no longer, I hope, we can no longer allow for our need for status quo to be our guiding light, right? Because to some people, like, for instance, you know, I've heard the argument, and look, I don't agree or disagree with this, but I've heard the argument. I mean, I guess I can disagree or agree, but I hear the merits of this argument where, all right, let's say Hillary was elected, right? Would we be where we are right now? And the answer is probably not. Because, you know, Trump put three justices on, you know, in the court, and Hillary would not have, right? So we probably would not be here. I don't think that's an unfair statement to say, right? No. And what the Clinton, what Hillary stood for was the status quo. So the argument that some people making is, man, status quo looks pretty damn good right now. If status quo still means, you know, women can get abortions without fucking going to jail or dying or making a choice between death or jail, right? And to that I say, I get that. I hear that. I hear the merits of that. But eventually, when you keep having status quo, you keep tipping the scales toward the opposite direction. And eventually we get to this tipping point, or to a tipping point, which is where we are fucking headed. And unfortunately, nobody wants to get to a tipping point, because that means we have lost a lot in order for people to finally wake the fuck up. And but it seems like that's where we're going. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people think that the status quo is synonymous with stability, because you know, we've vaguely been a certain way as a society since World War II, but like, it's not sustainability. It's still the slow creep of capitalism towards the right. I think one thing that people kind of don't really recognize is that even though Trump was an accelerant, he wasn't really special. He didn't really do anything that unique. He just kind of did whatever his the Republicans who were patting on him on the back told him to do. Like, this is still kind of just textbook war on poverty type shit. It's all just a natural creep, and everything from the persecution of trans people right now to digging on native pipelines and stuff, it's all connected to the same kind of rhetoric where we're trying to put the onus of America being a stronger country on everyday people, when really it's the people who actually have power sucking resources away from us, and then eventually they're going to abandon us.
Right.
And go to some other
have already, for the money. I think, in many ways.
Yes,
I
mean, exactly.
Yeah, to the point, which I think is an argument I've heard recently and seen like from people being like, anybody who was like a big, you know, Bernie's supporter or like didn't vote for Clinton, like should be ashamed, and totally get that sentiment. At the same time, I think there is a world where you look at the fact that Hillary Clinton, who is the most like representative of this centrist Democratic like position and the status quo that you could possibly find, like in the world, that you could possibly find, lost to Donald Trump in the election, like that should have signaled, okay. And then meanwhile, there was this movement to the left that we had to actively, like we being the Democratic Party, had to actively suppress in order to get Clinton like even into the election in the first place. So maybe we learn a lesson from that and learn that that there's a bunch of energy there, because I think that's the thing that people are leaving out of the equation, is that the reality is that the Democratic Party is in trouble because they got elected and couldn't do any of the things they claimed they could, because they are beholden not to people so much as like corporations. And so, and the country is in trouble because the other option is going to probably be Trump. Like, as much as people were like using wishful thinking and being like, ah, well, that'll put the final nail in the coffin, like that's not true. That he's about to announce his campaign. Anybody who goes up against him in the campaign is probably going to get beat up pretty bad. But you're Ron DeSantis. I was hoping that maybe like the Republicans would just prevent Trump from being the nominee, but they've tried that before. and they actively tried that. They couldn't do it before. Now that like half the party is in his thrall, like that's probably not going to happen.
Oh yeah, they love him. He does whatever they want, essentially. They've gotten a lot of state power through Trump. Like, we talk about the Supreme Court a lot, but so much shit happens through state courts as well, too. A lot of it. And that's where they've stolen a lot of power. That's where they've gerrymandered a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also want to challenge the narrative that people who, like Bernie supporters, didn't vote for Clinton. Like, I feel like I want to challenge that every time it comes up, because we absolutely did. It was like 80% of Bernie supporters. It's like statistically wrong to say that we didn't, because more, you know, when you look at Hillary voters who went out for Obama, they're less than Bernie supporters who went out for Clinton.
Yeah. Right.
And when I see people still talking about that rhetoric, like especially after Roe v. Wade got shot down, I saw a lot of people tweeting that. And it's just like, first of all, this is the same thing as like yelling at Susan Sarandon. She didn't do anything. She's just one person. She's just one scapegoat. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah. No, I think it's unfair to say Bernie supporters are the reason that Hillary didn't get it. I do think, and I understand apathy toward our political system, and does my vote matter? And I do think, like Brody, you brought up a great point. Trump was not the person to start a lot of, you know, Trump didn't start the birther movement. A lot of racist people in the backwoods of this country were saying that shit before Trump gave them a blowhorn to like say it out loud. You know what I'm saying? He just picked up on that and was like, ooh, I can get some support from this and shit, and blah, 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 right? And so I think where the anger comes from, for instance, the folks who was like, I'm not going to vote because I can't vote for the lesser of two evils. Not Bernie supporters, but the people who was like, I'm not participating in this shit. Right. I think where the anger comes from is we saw the accelerant coming. You know, like you saw that we saw that if this dude gets in office, the acceleration to where we don't want to go is going to come a lot fucking quicker than any of us probably think. And we saw that it did, right? In many ways. So I do think it is. I think this notion that Bernie supporters are the reason we're here now. If they would have just voted for Clinton, then we would be here. Well, like you said, they did. They did vote for Clinton.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people who can hold L's. There are people all over the place who can hold fucking L's.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
pretty
it's
much any politician to... has a lot of L's.
Yeah.
Literally yeah. everyone.
They do. So.
The other kind of centrist take that is getting more traction in less, quote, liberal mainstream media, because it's coming from Mitt Romney. He like wrote a opinion piece in The Atlantic, I think, where he was like, America is in denial and there's a bald eagle with a fucking blindfold as the main thing. So, you know, we're in trouble. But this was basically the lead story on the Drudge Report over the weekend, which is still like one of the most popular news sources, even though it just links off to things. And his point is basically, we're in trouble because we're not treating any of our problems as real. Two main issues he comes back to are Trumpism and climate change, which absolutely, like, those are the two issues. And he's like, the right is ignoring the, you know, poison of authoritarianism with Trump and the dangers of climate change. The left is ignoring illegal immigration and the national debt. And he's like, so we just need to meet in the middle and figure this out.
I want to know what conservatives have ever done for the national debt.
Yeah.
Increase it.
Exactly.
Like, there are, you know, like, Jack, I know you're a sports fan. Brody, I'm not sure how much into sports you are. We've talked about it sometimes, but like, there's a such thing as just like, you know, analytics, right? But then there's also just like basic fucking stats. And the basic fucking stats just show you that, like, the Republican Party has never been good for the economy.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. Yeah. Ever. Those are just basic. You don't even have to dig deep. Just
because you like money
stats.
Doesn't mean you're good for the economy.
Yeah. Right. Just the basic stats show that. And it's remarkable that people, especially people who are sports fans, which most Republicans are, they'll talk you till you're blue in the face about football stats and all these other stats, and then you throw them stats and be like, nah, man, that ain't right. Like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, I could say a lot about the Democratic Party that is similar. The Democratic Party, in my eyes, is just Republican Party light. I mean, like, If you want to vote for a party that isn't going to increase the military budget or give money to cops, like, you just don't have an option.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's what we call the analytic stats right there.
Right.
That's digging deeper. That's the deeper stats.
But that would be the point. That this you could have published that sentence and been done with it and instead they were like, why are the middle of the road Democrats disappearing? Their positions, some of their positions are popular, so why are they going extinct? And just a bunch of photoshops or illustrations of like donkeys with a unicorn horn to like be like, these are the magical fixers of our problem, why are we ignoring it? Like, that's
which is a great burn, honestly,
right?
It's so funny that like I'm so leftist that sometimes when conservatives make fun of like Democrats and liberals, I'm like, you're right.
Oh yeah.
Joe Biden is sleepy.
For sure. All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, we'll talk about something that I know at least Jakiz is excited about, the Sour Patch Kid slush float.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, so this seems to be something more and more. I don't think it's just our show. It's definitely our show, though. Like, I, you know, broke up the recent episode in the aftermath of the Roe v. Wade being overturned with a taste testing of various new forms of Mountain Dew Baja Blast, just to, you know, keep myself from wanting to jump out a window. And it seems like there are, like, we also talked about a cheesy gordita crunch, or no, it's a Mexican pizza tostada, a Taco Bell creation that has a giant Cheez-It in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
That everybody was going crazy about. It seems like there's a new one of these every week. I feel like
it's... By the way, I saw someone order that Cheez-It tostada without any toppings, and it was just a big Cheez-It. and then someone commented, like, this is like hamster appropriation or something like that.
<That's>
Go ahead.
But yeah, so, I mean, that is, by the way, worth the price of admission, just to cheese it that big. Come on. But yeah, I feel like it gives us pop cultural content that is both self-hating in the sense that, like, you're consuming this and slowly killing yourself, and then also devoid of, it's not like a movie where, like, Chris Pratt pops up and you're like, oh yeah, Chris Pratt.
Huh. Yeah.
So I don't know. This seems to be the latest one. It's a slushy you can look at it if you just Google. If you use Google, it has little specks of Sour Patch Kids in it.
Oh.
And then little specks of Sour Patch Kids like sprinkled over.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So it's Sour Patch watermelon flavored slush with vanilla ice cream on top.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Then
this is one of those times where you really do have both sides panelists, because I am 100% about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is turn every much. Candy into a bar or a freaking ice cream
or
a Slurpee. And this, I love a Slurpee. I love a sour one. I love a, and hey, I get it. It's not an everyday thing.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's not. You're right. Listen, as a person who loves, you know, an Oreo milkshake and stuff, mm-hmm. we always gonna put stuff in stuff, right?
Yeah.
It is just the nature of how we create food and things
I
like that.
I couldn't have said it better myself. We're always gonna put stuff
we in always
stuff.
Gonna put stuff in stuff, man. You know, we always gonna find a way to put something in something, you know?
Mm-hmm. And fry it.
And fry it or ice it or some way, yeah. You know? Blend it together. It's fine. It's good. It's just, at a certain point, like, we need to just say, and this is for teenagers. this is what people still growing because it's gonna this is for people, you know, or as a one-time treat,
yeah.
You know, try it out and then leave it behind, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a reason why at 35 I don't do Jaeger shots anymore, but right. At 21 I did,
yeah.
You know, because I have grown, my body can't take it anymore and things like this. I love new food inventions. I love it. The big ass cheese it, give it to me. Like, I probably won't eat it, but I'm here for it, because eventually, like, some of this shit is actually delicious, man. Mm-hmm. And we deprive ourselves of delicious things sometimes. But, you know, a Sour Patch Kid is already sugary and sour enough.
Yes.
And then to throw that bitch in the Slurpee, which is already sugary
plus
enough.
It's like, which Ooh. Flavor of the Sour Patch we're talking? Because if you're just throwing them that's all true. In there, you know what I mean?
That's too much. The watermelon. So the that's slurp the, oh. is the oh, watermelon.
It's the watermelon?
Is the watermelon okay. Sour Patch. So it is Sour Patch
hey, you got me.
Kids watermelon flavor slush, real ice cream, which I always find it suspicious when they put real next to ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, this is ice cream.
Yeah, so there's a slush with a vanilla ice cream topping.
Okay.
And just like Sour Patch Kids that have been put through a wood chipper, like just all throughout the whole thing. Like, I don't know why they had to like chop them into little pieces. Sour Patch Kids Candy Blitz, they call it, which just means that the slush is infused with Sour Patch Kids, and then there are some sprinkled Sour Patch Kids body parts, and then they're sprinkled over the top of the vanilla ice cream. I've read two reviews of this. One is like not great. It mm-hmm. gives it 5 out of 10, but it still says it's smooth, which like I think the vanilla ice cream is, I think they made this concoction, they tried mm-hmm. it as a slush and were like, holy shit, like some of my hair just fell out. Like, a lot of it actually just fell out. And so Gawker, the new revival of Gawker, their journalists like went on a cross-state hunt to find it and finally found it. But like the people wouldn't give them vanilla ice cream because they have the same ice cream soft serve machine issues that McDonald's has, I guess. So they like just gave them the slush and they were like, it tasted like upsetting. The taste is upsetting and too sour. Like it Listen. Tastes like maybe some battery acid has been leaking into the batter. And mm-hmm. but the other middling review that I read was like, it's nice and smooth. The little texture, the little bits of Sour Patch Kid are chewy, which I find very suspicious. Both of them Ooh. Said that. They're like, they're not any, so I don't really fuck with like gummy candy and ice cream because it gets too hard. They have done something chemically to the body parts of these Sour Patch Kids that like they don't they don't get hard. They're just still like gummy and chewy, which I find suspicious in the way I don't want my food to be suspicious, both like impressive and like
yeah,
I'm introducing a chemical into my body that was not there before, and there are yeah. a lot of chemicals in my body.
Yeah. Listen, the closest Sonics is 25 miles away. Mm-hmm. All of the Sonics have a 2 or 2.5 rating on Yelp.
Yeah.
If I leave now, I could get there.
You get there in about 55 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I go to that Cracker Barrel right next to it every once in a while. And I'm, you know, get a couple friends going and go to, you know, the only restaurant that racism feels right to black people, apparently.
I've never been to a Cracker Barrel, but next time you go, let me know, for sure.
I'll 100% let you know. Pancakes and them biscuits, boy, them dumplings, the food is fucking delicious.
Good.
it's a reason, you know, I mean, look, you know, we got black people in our families. Listen, we know there's a few things that black folks like.
As soon as
you
said biscuit, I was already on board. Don't even trip.
You don't even trip. But I'm here for food shit. I still think the greatest creation, the last great creation that a company has ever made is the McGriddle. That was the last great creation. Everything else has just been kind of like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks and kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. And it's just some of it good, but nothing has hit.
We got some good stuff. We got some bars.
Good stuff. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But nothing has hit quite like the McGriddle has to me. From a fast food joint, I should say. Not just like everything.
Hey, man. I still get cheese in the crust from Pizza Hut. That's all I got to say.
Wow.
I mean, listen, that was before the McGriddle, though. That's another stuffed crust.
Yeah, it was.
Like, we have... I'm waiting for the invention like that. The invention that's going to be so good that they don't even run commercials for them bitches no more.
Right.
I mean, what are your thoughts on Doritos Locos tacos?
They're good. Bro. They're good. But, you know, like, I've had better tacos.
Listen, they got the Doritos. They got those taco shells at the grocery store so you can make them at home on your own. Yeah. I make them with my Impossible meat.
Oh, you do?
It's a great time. Ooh, sure do.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't realize that. So another plug for Kroger brand stores. Go out and,
and get it delivered. Get it delivered.
Get it delivered. Promo code. DZ.
All right. Well, I will not be trying this. It sounds bad. I think they couldn't get the slush to follow through on. You know how Sour Patch Kids are sour and then they get sweet? And like that's sort of the rhythm of eating Sour Patch Kids. Like that, they couldn't do that with the slush. So they were just like, throw some vanilla ice cream on top of that shit and that'll be the sweet. But I don't know. Anyways, Brody, as always, truly a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram, AOBroBro. You know me, I'll be having like a viral thread probably once a week.
Yeah.
So follow me on there.
That's an economist or,
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I mean, there's a lot of interesting tweets that I bookmarked, but at the end of the day, I just got to go with some stupid. And one stupid thing I enjoy, this is from like a couple weeks ago, when people watch movies like on their laptop, but they watch them through a Snapchat filter on their phone. and someone made a TikTok. I'm not even sure what movie it is. It's an Al Pacino movie where he's like interrogating someone.
Oh, he's blind. I saw this.
Yeah. and they put the Snapchat filter on where their eyes are like bugging out, and it's like a serious scene where they're like yelling at each other. it's just so funny. I'm just gonna what do you guys say?
Yeah, put it in the chat. We will put it in the footnotes.
You got it. Notes. It'll make you laugh, I guarantee it.
Jakees, where can people find you? What is a work of social media that you've been enjoying?
You know, you can always find me in these streets. And at Jakees Neal on Instagram only. I've been enjoying. I got three for you. They're very quick. Obviously, it's hard to like because they're memes or they're videos. So I'll just give them shout outs instead of reading a tweet. But there is one. This one actually is a tweet, and it is, you know, Stranger Things volume 2 is out, which, you know, no matter what you think about it, me personally, I thought Volume 2 of Season 4 was fucking dope. I loved it. Mm-hmm. But there is a tweet, Vecna, every time he hears Kate Bush, and it's him just, it's the actor playing Vecna in the makeup chair, just with his hands on his eyes, just like sighing and like, God damn it. Which, if you don't watch Stranger Things, that probably doesn't mean anything to you. But if you do watch Stranger Things, it is very fucking funny. And then, you know, Tony Baker VO, or just Tony Baker in general, one of the funniest dudes. And he does animal voiceovers. Mm-hmm. Go check the shit out. They're always funny. Ooh, some are cool. Just so great. But my favorite meme since the last time I've been on is just how black people start gossiping. And it is, you got me on speaker or are you by yourself?
That's funny.
Yeah.
I have one more for you. You just reminded me. This is just like a short TikTok of... I don't know what this is. It seems like some kind of like a black men's convention, but everyone in the video is dressed like they have a Steve Harvey suit on, and they're going around a circle and they're dancing to Blow the Whistle, and they're all doing kind of like this step, but they're all adding their own flavor to it, and it's like 100 black men all dressed like Steve Harvey. It's great. It changed my day. That's all.
I love it. Amazing. I love it. I'm looking at it now. It's very funny.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. At Britty Miggs tweeted, I need an upside down water bottle next to my bed like a hamster. At Stoned Cold Fox tweeted, due to the increase in gas prices, a man hanging from the passenger side of his best friend's ride is no longer a scrub. He is a man making smart financial decisions, and I'm intrigued. And then Charles Mockler tweeted a picture of a like vape store labeled what your mom calls you after she finds your weed, and the name of the store is Mr. Vape Smoke and Bongs. Like that. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, do you have a song that you want to recommend people check out?
I do. So this is a Chicago artist, No Name. That's one word, NONAME. She's one of my favorite artists in general. She was around the Chicago poetry circuit for a long time and then popped off. And then she quit the rap game because she was tired of performing for white people, both the executives and on the label side and, white fans shouting lyrics back to her that they probably shouldn't have been saying or definitely shouldn't have been saying. And so I really appreciate her independence and what she does. So this is a track called Diddy Bop featuring Cam OB and Rory. And it's a very dope song, really cool lyrics. It reminds me of summertime Chicago. And if you want that vibe, you can check that out in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.